I'd like to welcome everyone back to our service this evening. My lesson this evening is concerning an event where the Apostle Peter addresses the elders. And in 1 Peter 1 and verse 1, it says, "To the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." These people were likely persecuted Gentile Christians. If you turn to 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through verse 4, there it says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." This reflects Peter's experience with Jesus. The exhortation for the elders to feed the flock of God reminds the charge that Jesus gave Peter in John 21, verse 15 through verse 18. And there it says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" Verse 18, "Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." Shepherds played an important role in the world of Israel back during that time. Their work was to find grass and water to feed the sheep and to protect them from the wild animals and to tend to their sicknesses and to their wounds. It required them to spend long hours exposed to the natural elements of outdoor life. It wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy life. It was to the shepherds that the angels first announced the birth of Jesus. The important role of the shepherd is often used in the New Testament to teach us about Jesus. He is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. We continue our study of taking what Peter has seen, or looking through the eyes of Peter from events that happen in the Gospels and also in the book of Acts, and how he related those events in the letters of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. So we continue that this evening. I will say that I don't know what Brother Brian's thought was, but I gave a lesson just a few weeks ago on leadership. And this morning we had a lesson on submitting to authority. And now, once again, I'm giving a lesson on feed the sheep. I will tell you this, though. Through these studies and the lesson that we had this morning, for myself, it certainly enabled me to handle in my mind kind of what's going on today. We really don't have to worry about that so much. What we need to worry about is what we study in God's Word. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. The event that we read about in John 21, verse 15 through verse 18, according to verse 14, this was the third time that Jesus had showed himself after he had risen from the dead. Peter had boasted of the love toward Jesus superior to that of any of the other disciples. And by refusing to have Jesus wash his feet, and by being the first to draw his sword in his master's defense, and by swimming to meet Jesus, he had attempted to prove his boast. In his proud self-confidence, Peter once said, "Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Luke 22 and verse 33. Peter had denied Jesus three times, and now Jesus asked him three times to reaffirm his love for him. After eating the meal together and the disciples were calm from the excitement and were all receptive to teaching, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Jesus here means it is indeed true that his love is greater than that of his fellow disciples. Or he's asking, is it true that your love is greater than these, your disciples? Do you love me more than these love me? He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend to my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The Greek here has slight shades of meaning which the English does not express. In the first two questions asked of Peter, Jesus is using the strong Greek verb agape love. According to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, it denotes the highest, most perfect kind of love, implying a clear determination of will and judgment belonging particularly to the sphere of divine relationship or divine revelation. In his answer, Peter substitutes the Greek word with phileo, which means the natural human affection, with a strong feeling or sentiment, and is never used in scripture language to designate man's love to God. While the answer of Peter then claims only an inferior kind of love as compared to the one included in Christ's question, he nevertheless is confident of possessing at least such a love for the Lord. Peter had been humbled. In the past he boasted, "Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." And then he denied him three times. Now, when Jesus asked him if he loved him, he is cautious. He humbly describes his love as a far weaker order, a mere indistinctive affection or strong attachment, but nothing approaching adoration. In his third question, Jesus drops the agape love and takes Peter's own word, phileo, as if he said, "Peter, are you even sure you have a high regard for me?" And Peter was grieved to have the Lord doubt that he had even a tender regard for him. And he appealed to Christ. He appealed to his to Christ himself as the searcher of hearts, to bear witness that as poor and meager as his love was, it was at least as intense as he had represented it to be. In response to each of Peter's profession of love, Jesus lays a command on him, as if he said, "If you love me as you say, prove it." These three commands also have slight shades of meaning which the English does not express. He said, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep." Lambs and sheep are to be fed, and sheep are to be tended. This means that the young and old in the church are to be provided for. And since tend means to be shepherd unto, Peter was to play the shepherd to the wandering and the erring, bringing them back to the fold. Now some 30 years later, in 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 4, it is one of the incidents where Peter fulfills this command of Jesus, "Feed my sheep." The theme of suffering appears throughout 1 Peter. The letter was written about A.D. 62 to A.D. 64, and it was written during the persecutions of Christians, as Brother Duane pointed out this morning, under Nero's reign. The persecution arose in Rome, and it was spreading throughout Asia Minor. Peter begins with an appeal to the elders who were in various churches in Asia Minor. And there he says, and we'll read again 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. He appeals to the elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Peter doesn't make his appeal based on his authority as an apostle that was given to him by Jesus. Instead, Peter makes his appeal based on three things. Number one, Peter is an elder himself. Peter knows the challenges and the difficulties of being an elder over a local church. Peter says that he is writing to the shepherds as a shepherd himself. Jesus charged Peter to feed his sheep. Number two, Peter was a witness of the sufferings of Christ and was aware of the suffering that these shepherds were enduring at this time. Peter is a partaker. Number three, Peter is a partaker in the glory to be revealed. Through suffering, their hope is in the glory that will come later. Peter is sharing that hope, looking forward to the glorious return of the Lord. And based on these three things, Peter now makes his appeal to the elders. Elder functioning as shepherds is a vivid image of what these men are supposed to do for the flock of God. The scriptures are full of images of what good shepherds look like and what bad shepherds look like. We read in Ezekiel 34, 1 through verse 8. There it says concerning bad shepherds, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for the flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. This is what condemned shepherds did. I want you to first notice they were feeding themselves and not feeding the sheep. One of the primary functions of the shepherd is to feed the flock. The sheep, the congregation, must expect the shepherds to teach, train, and instruct them. Second, the weak sheep were not strengthened. The sick sheep were not healed. The injured sheep were not bound up. The straying sheep were not brought back, and the lost sheep were not sought after. Another primary work of the shepherd is to be there for the weak, the sick, and the broken sheep. The shepherds were to seek after them. As sheep, we are not to be surprised when the shepherds come to us. When we are weak, when we are sick, injured, when we are straying, or when we are lost. We are not to be offended because they are simply doing their job. Third, the shepherds had failed in Ezekiel 34 because they ruled them with force and harshness. God condemns shepherds who see their position as shepherds as a position of power. Godly shepherds are not to be, it's my way or the highway. They're not to be that type of leader. They will not rule with force nor harshness. And by contrast, it doesn't take much to see what good shepherds look like. Jesus called himself the good shepherd in John chapter 10. The example of Jesus is what good shepherding looks like. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, Jesus is called the chief shepherd. Jesus is the example in how he led his disciples, how he led the multitudes, how he led the religious leaders. These are the images bound up in the Greek verb, shepherd. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. When we look at the text, we see three not but statements. Brother Brian brought our attention to the not but statements quite a while ago. He is saying here, do not shepherd like this, but shepherd like this. First, they were not to shepherd under compulsion. Shepherds should not want to do their job. Shepherds should want to do their job willingly. They should not have to be compelled to strengthen weak sheep. The shepherd should not have to be forced to bring back the straying sheep. Sheep must be the shepherd's desire. Peter is exhorting the elders to love their work and to be willing to do it. Be willing to seek after the straying sheep. Be willing to bring them back. Be willing to bind them up. This is their function and this was their purpose. As a sheep, we were to appreciate the shepherd's willingness to shepherd them. And it says, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not only should the shepherd be willing to work, but they should also not shepherd for pay. I don't think elders in most congregations receive pay. I don't know for sure. But that is not to say they don't deserve it. But they should shepherd because the heart that was given to them by God. They should shepherd it and shepherd God's kingdom and shepherd his flock, and they should do it willingly. Shepherds are not to lead because of the pay, but because they love God and they love the sheep. Now Peter says that the flock is in their care and under their charge. And with that comes great responsibility. The elders are not to be domineering, lording their rule over the flock. That is what the shepherds were doing in Ezekiel 34. And God condemned those shepherds. One of the ways an elder can be domineering over the flock is by telling them to do things that they would be unwilling to do themselves. This is the point that Peter draws out in exhorting the elders. Elders are not about telling others what to do. Elders are doing what is right and godly and telling the flock to join them in the work. They are to be examples to the flock. If they are not examples, then they are domineering. The lives of the elders are the reflecting and direction that they are taking in the church. The reward is the crown of glory from the chief shepherd, Jesus. Jesus is giving a crown that represents unfading victory. Peter says, do these things in the face of persecution, in the face of suffering, and you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In closing, though we do not have elders in our congregation, those who serve well are worthy of the crown of glory that awaits them. Let me close with these two passages. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 and 13. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourself. In Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Looking through the eyes of Peter, what he was commanded to do from Jesus on that day when he asked him the three times, do you love me? And then reading 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 4, we have that example. If there's anyone that is subject to the gospel call, we need to come while we stand and sit.